MZTV.
Whenever they of the nations that have no law by nature may be doing that which the law demands, these having no law or law to themselves, how can that be? How can people without the law be doing what the law demands? Well, they're displaying the actions of the law, not the law itself. The action of the law, what the law purported to be able to produce, they're producing that, displaying that in their hearts, their conscience, testifying together, and their reckonings between one another, accusing or defending them in the day when God will be judging the hidden things of humanity, according to my evangel. And people say Paul doesn't have a separate evangel in accord with my evangel through Jesus Christ. Welcome to MZTV. I'm Martin Zender, your host. And yesterday, I said something that may have made some people mad. Sorry, every time I start to broadcast, my nose itch. It's a cue. My nose starts to itch. As soon as I turn on the microphone, it's a cue for my nose to go, So yesterday I said something that may have disturbed some people, namely that God does not speak to you anymore. And he does not. It's a very dangerous thing to think. It certainly doesn't mean that God is not in your life. I suggested to you that the thing that does speak to you, and this sounded cold and heartless to some people, is the conscience. I've tried to explain the conscience before. The best I can do is that thing, the mysterious thing, or feeling, or I don't know what it is, impulse, electrical current. I don't know what it is that tells you what's right or wrong. It's built in to all humanity. Built in. So you might say, well, Martin, if the law, or if the conscience tells you what's right or wrong, then why did anybody need the law? And since Israel had the law, did they not need a conscience? No, Israel, this is a great question. It's going to lead to my revelation of the day. Israel had a law and a conscience. They had both. All that's needed is the conscience. But Israel, of course, became the guinea pig nation to show that flesh and blood cannot do the things of God. So that was added to them. Added. And their conscience testified to them constantly that they weren't doing the law. No doubt about it. They thought maybe they were doing the letter of the law. They were doing the outward reality of the law. But they still hated people. They still were miserable. They still did all this. But see, they polished the outside of the cup. Jesus said, you know, that doesn't even count. Sorry. So it all goes back to the conscience is really, unless it's screwed up, yeah, everything can be screwed up. There's always a problem with everything. So the conscience is a beautiful thing unless it's screwed up, like Ted Bundy's or like a Christian's, you know. Martin, how can you compare Ted Bundy to Christians? You're right. I do a disservice to Ted Bundy. Well, because Ted Bundy couldn't and never did figure out how to torment people for eternity. He just, like, dismembered them and raped them. And it was horrible. Not justifying Ted Bundy, for God's sake. I'm just saying that the terrorist of the Christian religion, the terrorist God of Christian religion, does worse than that. He takes young women and he burns them forever. Doesn't even have the decency to kill them. That's worse than Bundy. And God does it to children, too. And to young men, old men, your relatives, your parents, your kids. Anybody who doesn't have the decency to choose him. Well, that's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. But anybody with a conscience knows the truth. That's what deep down, anybody with a clean conscience. But a conscience, again, can be wrecked. And Christians have a wrecked conscience. Bundy had a wrecked conscience. I don't know. So the only examples I can think of right now are Christians and Ted Bundy. But the reason, and in the old days, the people had a conscience and God revealed themselves to them. Remember, There was a time when God had not been revealed yet. God had not told us. Everybody wants God to speak to him. God, please speak to me. God, please speak to me. I'm not making fun. Yes, I am. I am, actually. Speak to me. Speak to me. I mean, I've done the same thing. Only I ask God for actions. Yeah. I don't ask God to speak to me. I don't want to hear a voice. Believe me, I don't want to hear a voice. I don't want to see any angels. I don't want any supernatural thing to show up for me. For one thing, I don't trust it today. If you see something like that, it's probably satanic. If you hear something, it's probably of satanic origin. Satan can even imitate dead people. We had discussions over here with my landlady and her friend about death. She saw her dead uncle once. I said, no, you didn't see your dead uncle. What did I see? Some demonic influence trying to trick you that your dead uncle was alive. That was the whole thing with the Witch of Endor. Saul consulted the Witch of Endor because he wanted to talk to Samuel. And guess who showed up? Samuel! But Martin thought the dead were dead. They are. So how did Samuel show up? Saul was consulting the Witch of Endor. That's the key to that. It's the Witch of Endor. A dubious source of information. It was disallowed Israel to consult with necromancers, those who talk to the dead. We know them as mediums. No. You're talking about dark arts there. Many spiritual beings, evil spiritual beings, can imitate the dead in order to keep the deception going forward that you shall not surely die. Satan's original lie in the Garden of Eden. So God does not speak to you that way. Here's how he does it. He speaks through conscience and circumstance. You don't need to ask God what you should do. That's why most people want to hear God. And what is the still small voice? Elaine mentioned that. She kind of gets mad at me. Elaine says, well, I believed in that still small voice, which I think comforted her, until Zender showed up and he destroyed all my wonderful thoughts about this still small voice. Does it go like this? Like, hello, this is your still small voice, and I'm here to tell you, you better not go to town today. You better not buy a gallon of milk. It's poisoned. Sorry. I am making fun. Remember I told you there's so many things in life God doesn't speak about? Not even in the scriptures does he speak about it. So he's not going to speak about it now. What job you should have, who you should marry, what you should eat for lunch. You can't look in Leviticus chapter 12 to see what you should eat for lunch. Oh, I can't? Well, that's all right. I'll ask God and he'll speak to me in an audible voice. Thou shalt eat a ham sandwich. It's mustard. And rye bread. And then for dessert, thou shalt mix cocoa powder in with Greek yogurt. Add a pinch of stevia, stir it up and eat it. God doesn't. He dictates everything now in the most amazing way. You want to hear something more amazing than God speaking? More amazing. I'll tell you what it is that he is in control of every single circumstance. He is in control of your DNA. He's in control of all the decisions you make, all the decisions you make. This was always true. This was always true. But before scripture was completed, before God had said everything he needed to say to us, he sent his word to humanity. He spoke to the prophets through intermediaries, because God doesn't literally speak. He doesn't have a mouth, lips, or an epiglottis. And so, probably Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, his image, spoke to the prophets. They did hear freaking voices. They did have dreams, and it was legit because it was necessary. Did he tell them what to eat for lunch? No, because God doesn't really care what you eat for lunch. I mean, he does. He does, but the more important thing is that he cares for your entire life, don't worry. He cares what brand toilet paper you use. He does. But the important thing was to reveal himself, to make himself known, as I was saying yesterday. So God speaks to us two ways today, and I'm sorry to destroy anybody's fantasies. And that is through conscience and circumstance. Not pomp and circumstance, conscience and circumstance. He's in charge of everything, and everything, every event pushes you in the direction in order to make a decision or to do a thing that you do. This is why I just trust God. People say, well, how do you know what to do? This is my answer. This will shock you. Are you ready? Martin, how do you know what to do? God doesn't speak to you, you say. I do what I want. I do what seems best to me. That's what I do. I'm doing this show today, and I have done it since 2008 because that's what I want to do. I've been in this work studying scriptures since 1993 because that's what I want to do. I had four oranges this morning because that's what I wanted to do. God didn't tell me to have four oranges. He didn't have to. My DNA dictates that I like citrus fruit. I go to the store and I like a certain brand because that's been programmed into me as well. I go to one store because I had a bad experience at another store, which was of God. And so I went to this store where there are some nice people and it's easier to shop. It's not as crowded. That's also of God. Circumstance drives me into what I should do. Then my conscience either says, yes, do it or don't do it. So my conscience feels good about buying this certain kind of oranges. Those little cuties, easy to peel. Huh. Boy, somebody came up with that. Somebody cross-pollinated something with something and it produced these happy oranges that peel very easily. See, in my conscience, so that's fine. Now, if I felt like dismembering women, I said, that's not, my conscience would go, no, why did I even think of that? Oh, that's terrible. So it's all in combination. These two things are in combination. Now, the Christian God would burn them for eternity, yeah. Now, Ted Bundy couldn't do that. Well, the Christian small g God is more evil than Ted Bundy. It's true. And there's James Dobson interviewing Bundy at the end of his life, the day before his execution. You can see the tape. Dobson's shaking in his shoes. I mean, you're in the presence of evil. I admit that. Yes, you're in the presence of evil. But Bundy was a master manipulator. He snowed Dobson. He said it all started with pornography, and he was just catering to Dobson because Dobson was anti-pornography, anti-masturbation, anti-wet dream, anti-everything. So Bundy played into that, hoping to get another stay of execution, which he had done many, many times. Anyway, forget about it. So it's your conscience in combination with circumstance. And then you just do what seems right to you. That's what it is. You do what seems right to you. This is not godlessness. In fact, it's the ultimate trust in God. You do what seems right to you, knowing. You see, people who need to hear voices and things, they don't trust the circumstances. Or else, maybe they don't trust, I'm not saying this, I'll be lame, because maybe she's confused about that, but God. Most Christians don't believe at all that God controls circumstances. No. They don't believe God controls anything, really. It's up to the 8 billion human beings on the planet to control things. It's up to Satan, whatever he wants to. God doesn't. So therefore, since nothing is in order, nothing is planned, they have to hear from God directly. They have to pray all the time. What should I do? Just look at your circumstances and do what you're being pressed to do. But none of the circumstances matter. How can I say that? Because the circumstances are random chaos if they don't believe that God is the sovereign of the universe. If they think they have free will. If they think their neighbor has free will. If they think everybody on the planet has free will. How can any circumstance be said to be pointing you in a certain direction if God's not in charge of that circumstance? So then you have to seek verbal answers or get a dream or get a private revelation. There are no private revelations. You have thoughts and ideas. I look at scripture and I say, ooh, I thought of something I've never thought of before. And if I'm not mistaken, no human being has ever thought of it before. Does that mean I got a private revelation from God? No, it just means that the circumstances force me, my mind, the way it's arranged, the scriptures, the way they're arranged, caused me to come up with this thought. It's still of God. All is of God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All is of God. So I'm not saying that the decisions we ultimately make based on conscience or circumstance is not of God. Of course it's of God. It's just not of God in the relative. If it was of God in the relative, then he'd be sitting down next to me speaking. Well, Martin, I really think you should adjust the contrast on your computer. your volume's a little off. No. I learn these things from circumstances. I make mistakes based on circumstances. So we don't need it. And it's a compliment to God that we don't need it, because we trust that he's in charge of circumstances. So don't trust your dreams. Don't look for voices. Don't look for answers via special paranormal thoughts, paranormal feelings. No. I know my dead grandpa was standing next to me. No, that wasn't your dead grandpa. You don't want to know what that was. It wasn't your dead grandpa. It was not your dead grandpa.